Bible says, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore I will give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not," there it is again, "for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him." Evolutionists have a real problem with that verse of Scripture. Amen. God says, "I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, and yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together. Let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." I like verse number 11 also. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared, and have saved, and have showed. When there was no strange God among you, therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all the nobles and the Chaldeans who cry in their ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse and the army with and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinct, they are quenched as tow. Remember ye not the former things, neither consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, ye shall not know it. I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. I'm going to stop reading there for the sake of time and the sake of the message. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege you've given us this morning. I pray, dear God, you illuminate my mind, guard these lips of clay. I pray, Lord, you bless our Sunday school hour. Bless the preaching of your word this morning. Help me to say that's needful and Lord, necessary today. I know my time is short. My time is limited. I pray, God, you'd move upon the hearts of your people. I pray, Lord, you bless everything that's done in this day. Bless the preaching, Lord, in 11 o'clock service. The singing today, Father, will it Lord, be uplifting to thy name. And I pray, God, you'd have your willing way now in the Sunday school hour. Help us, dear Father, we pray. In Jesus' loving name, I pray these things. Amen and amen. Before I get into real deep of the message, I want to share with you just a few things about Israel. As we understand the Bible, studying our scriptures, and I've talked about this before, mentioned this several times, that as you read through the Bible and you talk about the children of Israel and the Jews is a picture and a type of the New Testament church. All right? As we understand that, we're reading through the book of Isaiah, and as God deals with the children of Israel, God will also deal with the church age. Amen? There's been a timeout dealings with Israel, God's chosen nation. There's a timeout period. That's for the Gentile dogs is what we are. That's our time, amen, that God has set aside to allow the Gentiles to become saved, amen, redeemed, accept their Savior, Jesus Christ. That's a timeout period. We talked about that as we studied through Revelation and Daniel. But as we understand reading this and reading about the children of Israel and through the book of Isaiah, that God is dealing with primarily is talking to the children of Israel, but that is a picture of a type, if you would, of the New Testament church. So what God says to Israel then, God's saying to the church now. Is everybody with me? Alright? So with that being said, watch this now. Israel having power with God is what that means. The nation chosen and created by God to preserve His truth in the world and to prepare the way for Christ His coming. God of the nation is named after Jacob, who was renamed Israel by God. Genesis chapter 32, verse 28. God called Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 3. Abraham had Isaac in Genesis chapter 21. Isaac had Jacob in Genesis chapter 25. Jacob had 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel. Genesis chapter 49. To this special people, God gave a land, Palestine, so that they could live separated from the heathen peoples in order to fulfill God's purposes. Now, stay with me, all right? This is a lot of stuff to take in, but I want you to get this. God delivered the Scriptures to the world through Israel. Romans chapter 3, verse 1. What advantage hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. That's through Israel that God brought the Scriptures. Alright? Then also, God gave the world a Savior also through Israel. Romans chapter 9, verse 4 and 5. Who are the Israelites? To whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? Whose are the fathers and of whom as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. So we understand that Israel was God's chosen nation, and through Israel, God sent the world, the Scriptures that we have, and through Israel, God sent the Messiah, the Savior. Amen. And we understand that God chose a nation and worked through that nation. Now, we all know that Israel sinned and rebelled and had their problems, but as we study through the Scriptures, God never annihilated His chosen generation. Amen? He disciplined them, He judged them for their wrongdoing, but He never destroyed them. Amen? Temporarily, the nation Israel has been set aside in the purposes of God. That's where you come to the 69 weeks of Daniel. Amen? There's a little time out there. God stopped dealing with Israel. God's dealing with the church age. Amen? That's where we are. There's going to come a day real soon where God says, okay, let's play ball. Amen? The timeout's going to be over with. The church is going to be raptured out. God's going to begin to deal with the children of Israel once again. That's in prophecy. Well, I'm not going into prophecy and dealing with that right now. Today, He is creating a special body of saved people composed both of Jews and Gentiles. You'll find that in Acts chapter 15 and Ephesians chapter number 3. After the present work is accomplished, God will again resume His purpose with the nation Israel to fulfill the Old Testament promises and prophecies concerning them. Now, with all that being said, I want to borrow your mind and please pray for me this morning. I have so much I want to share and so little time to do that in. I want to borrow your mind for just a minute and try to help you understand what is going on in this passage of Scripture. When I get to the end, it's going to be worth it. So hold on. Hang in there with me, all right? Look with me if you would. First of all, in verse number 10. Verse number 10, the Bible says here, God is speaking, saying, "You are my witnesses, saith the Lord." Now, we've discussed this before. We'll discuss it one more time. Anytime you see capital L-O-R-D, that's speaking of Jehovah God. We know that. And God of the Old Testament is Jesus Christ of the New Testament. Amen? We've got that settled. But He says in verse number 10, "You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe and understand that I am He." God used Israel to let the world know that He was God. It was through the nation Israel that God performed miracles and signs and wonders and many things that God did through the nation of Israel. And that was so that the world should know that He was God. He was the only God. Now, He speaks to those false gods and to those that are worshiping the false gods and the idols. And He speaks to them in verse number 8. And He says, "Bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears." I was looking at several commentators, and some commentators are just that. They're commentators. Amen. And I was reading on some of their thoughts on that verse of Scripture, and they think when they read that verse of Scripture that it's talking about those that are mentally or not, they're physically impaired, they're blind, they can't see, they're deaf. That's not what the scripture is speaking of. Stay with me. As we look at this, he says, bring forth the blind people that have eyes and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. What people is he talking about? The blind and the deaf? Is that the only ones he's calling together? No, absolutely not. Because if you continue to read in verse number 9, he says, when these people are gathered together, he asks these questions. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. Then he speaks to Israel in verse number 10 and says, ye are my witnesses. So in verse 8 and 9, he's dealing with those followers of the idols. Idolatry was one of the biggest sins, amen, among the nations and among the people. And so he's calling them together, ye followers of the idols. They have eyes, but they cannot see. They have ears, but they cannot hear. Those people are, listen, they got the head stuck in the sand, if you would. The truth is right before them, but they refuse to accept the truth. The Messiah came who was right before them, and they refuse to accept the truth. So he's dealing with idolatry. And he says to those false gods, to those people who are following those false gods and those idols, bring those idols, bring them here, and tell me which of them can tell of things of the past. Which of those false gods, which of those idols that you worship can tell us of the things to come, can tell us of prophecy, can tell us of things that's going on right now in the world? Bring those false gods and let them come. Let them speak and let it be truth, whatever they say. Then he says in verse 10, you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and you're my servant whom I've chosen, that ye may know and believe me and understand that I am he. All right, we got that settled. Everybody know where we're at with Israel, right? They are God's witnesses. They have seen the power of God. They've witnessed the miracles. They know that He is God. They've rebelled against God, and God chastened them and disciplined them, and they are the witness that God will chasten His people. Amen. We're not going to stop there. That's on a bad note. I'm not going to stop there. God will chasten His people. There's proof of that. Amen. He chastened Israel. They're God's chosen people. If you're going to live for God and name the name of Christ, my soul, do it right. Amen. According to the Word of God, just follow Him. And listen, you won't have to go through that. But we have, according to the Scripture here, we have the example of Israel, that God chastens His people. But we also have the example that God loves His people. And God's going to take care of His people. We understand as we read through these scriptures that, and we know that God redeemed the children of Israel from Egypt, brought them to the Red Sea, and we studied in the book of Exodus of the crossing of the Red Sea. Here's the big sea of water. It wasn't ankle deep water. The Bible says it was a sea. Amen. And they went down into the midst of the sea. It wasn't ankle deep, as some like to say. It wasn't the Red Sea, as some like to say. It was a sea, and it was deep water. Amen. We understand that God brings the children of Israel to that point. And at that point, God, listen, God delivers His people through the Red Sea. There's many other times when they come to the crossing of the Jordan River. And the Jordan at some stages, especially in Joshua chapter number 3, the Jordan's flooded. And the children of Israel come to the waters. And God delivers His children through the waters of the Jordan, through the Red Sea. There's many other circumstances we can look at through the Bible where God delivers His people and God brings them through to the other side. And God always promises to be with His people and to keep His people safe and to keep His hand upon them. Because He is a sovereign, loving God. Amen. Boy, that's good stuff. You preach, you got all that out of that little verse of Scripture. You ain't heard the half of it yet. This is good stuff. I about had myself a spell Thursday night, and I only got through a couple of verses. I don't know how far I'll get this morning. And listen, I promise you, Brother Kenny's going to preach today, but I don't know what time that'll be. Amen. We're just going to have a good time. Amen. God says that we have a witness, and that witness is Israel. I was reading in a commentary this morning. Lord, help, Brother Kenny, this was good stuff. You probably already know this. But H.A. Ironside wrote a book on the book of Isaiah. And I was reading through there, kind of some things and some of the notes. And he asked a chaplain, I think it was in the army or something like that, one of those soldiers, he said, if you had the opportunity, son, to describe the Bible as truth, how could you do that? How could you explain to me that the Bible was truth? In one word, what would you say to anybody to say that the Bible was truth? And that young soldier looked at him and said, sir, Israel. That was his only word, Israel. You can look at Israel and know that the Bible is truth. Amen. You can look at Israel and know that the Bible doesn't just contain truth. It is truth. You can look at Israel and understand that God's a God that loves His people. Amen. And God's a God that keeps His word. Amen. And God's a God that, listen, that's going to send a Messiah. He did it once. He came. They rejected Him. He went to heaven. We know that through the Scriptures. He was seen. And the Bible says He's coming again. You can bank on that, honey, because Israel saw it. Israel knows God keeps His word. And God speaks to us through His word. And so we know that to be truth. Amen. Now we got the foundation started. Let's build a little bit. If you look with me in verse number 13. Verse number 13. Yea, before the day was, I am He. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. You ought to stop right there and shout a while. Amen. I know the Bible says in the book of John, no man shall pluck them out of my hand. Amen. The shepherd knows the sheep. Doesn't make no difference what we do. God will discipline us and chasten us and correct us. But there's nothing in this world. There's no individual. There's no false God. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Amen. Nothing can stop me from being saved this morning. My name has not been blotted out of the book of life. That's enough to shout on for a little while this morning that no matter what happens, what comes our way, no matter what in this world or who in this world tries to stop God, the Bible said, God says, I will work a work and I'll complete it. Amen. I'll get it done. There's none that can deliver out of my hand. There's none can stop the work that I'm going to do. I will work, and who shall hinder it? In verse 13. Who shall let it? That's what the word let means, hinder. Who shall hinder it? If God wills it and God starts it, they ain't nobody or nothing can stop it. Y'all with me? I'm going somewhere. Just hang in there. I promise. I'm going to bring this thing to a close here in about an hour or two. If God wills it and God starts it, and listen, God will complete it. If God brings you to it, God will bring you through it. Amen? If God brings you to it, God will bring you through it. So many times God brings an individual, a child of God, to a circumstance or to a situation and they retrieve and run away from that because they fear they cannot make it through. Now understand with me, sometimes those circumstances are fearful circumstances. There's things that are humongous to us. So Lord, there ain't no way I can ever do that. You're right. You can't without Him. Look what He said to the children of Israel. Look what He says to the... Look what He says to the children of Israel. Verse number 5, it says, fear not, for I am with thee. What else do we need? What else do we need? Well, hold on. Hold on just a minute. I don't even have time to get into redemption. We know that God's our Redeemer. Amen. We've got that settled. All right. I don't have time to get into all that this morning. I'm just going to jump right along and through some of these notes and try to help us this morning. As we understand God dealing with the children of Israel, and Israel is a witness for God, what God has done with them, how God has blessed them, protected them, and provided for them, and brought them through. Now we see the children of Israel is a typology of the New Testament church, and God is speaking through Israel to the New Testament church, and He says to us, as He said to them, fear thou not. When you come to a circumstance in life that's beyond your control, fear thou not. When you're walking in the daily walk of life and you're living for the Lord and everything is, you're doing the best that you can. And listen, our very best is as filthy rags, by the way. But we're doing the very best that we can to live for God and to serve Him with gladness. And we come to a circumstance in life and some people might blame it on sin. Job's friends blamed it on sin, but it wasn't sin. It's something that God put in our path. Can I tell you this morning, if you never go through anything, you'll never be anything. If you never go through any circumstance of any troubles, of any trials, you'll never be anything for God. As a matter of fact, if you never go through anything, I wonder if you're even one of God's children. Because He tells His children, fear not. If there's not going to be trouble, why would he ever say that? Why would he ever say fear not if there's not going to be trouble? So that lets me know trouble's on the horizon. Trouble's coming. I ain't scared. Because he told me not to fear. Watch this now. Verse number 1. Speaking to Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. I know the young folks like to sing that song, He Knows My Name. I was kind of hoping Miss Caitlin would have been here today. That's all right. We'll just have to jump around that and not get to hear that. We go on YouTube, you can hear it. Amen. He knows my name. Aren't you glad that God knows who you are? If you're saved this morning and your name has not been blotted out of the book of life, that God the Father, the creator of the universe, that chose Israel, His chosen nation, that provided and protected and dealt with them as a father, as a loving God, He knows your name. Did that sign out there say Baptist or Presbyterian? God knows this morning who you are. He knows your name. Does that affect you at all? The creator of the universe knows who I am. The president don't have a clue who I am. The governor don't have a clue who I am. Matter of fact, the DMV only knows me by a number, not a name. Amen? The Social Security office doesn't know my name. All they know is my number. But God, the Bible says, knows my name. That's shouting ground, amen? That's wonderful, but it doesn't just stop there. Help us, Lord, this morning. In verse number 2, verse number 1, shouting ground, just right out beside verse number 1, shout, hallelujah. I've redeemed thee, thou art mine. I belong to somebody this morning. Thank God it ain't Obama. It ain't Donald Trump. It ain't Hillary Clinton. Hallelujah. I don't belong to none of that crowd. I don't want to get into politics. That's not my goal. But God says I'm His. I belong to Him. I'm a purchased possession. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. I'm having a real hard time with that. I am a purchased possession. Do you understand with me this morning that God, Jehovah, the creator of all the universe that created heaven and earth, everything that's in it, everything that's ever has been, ever will be, God created. That God says that He knows my name and that He has purchased me as a prized... glory to God. I'm a prized possession. Merciful heavens, that's a helping me. I'm a prized possession. You don't know me like I know me. Hey man, God looks at me as a prized possession. He has redeemed me by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When God purchases something, Lord, help me. I'm having a hard time with this. When God purchases something, you can guarantee He's going to take care of it. Ain't nobody going to take it away from Him. Ain't nobody going to steal it from Him. Ain't nobody going to say it's theirs and not His. If God purchases something, it belongs to Him and ain't nothing anybody can do. Glory to God. That's helping me. Lord, help. That's good stuff. I am His. I've redeemed thee. I've purchased thee. Thou art special in my eyes. God says, thou art mine. Thou art mine. Son, you belong to me. You better shout right there because you ain't going to shout on verse number 2. Thou art mine. Can we get a hold of that? This one? Can we just take a time out for a few minutes and get a hold of that? Thou art mine. You belong to God this morning. He's our Father. He has all the riches and glory. He gave His only Son to die for our sins, and we belong to Him. Do you think for 1 minute a prized possession, something that God has purchased, something that is precious to Him? Do you think for 1 minute that He doesn't care about that possession? If you bought something this morning that was a prized possession, now be careful with this, I don't want to get into materialism. But if you bought something this morning that was a prized possession, it means a lot to you. That thing ain't for sale. Amen? It ain't for sale. I care about that. My Washburn guitar is a prized possession to me. Now, I don't choose it over my God. Amen? But it's a prized possession. It ain't for sale. Ain't nobody going to take it away from me without a whooping. Or maybe get shot. That's a prized possession. I care about it. I try to take good care of it. I don't leave it out in the heat. I don't leave it out in the cold. I wax it. I keep new strings on it. It has to be taken care of. Because if I want to use it and use it for the glory of God, I've got to take good care of it. God, in His possession and purchasing of a prized possession, the Scripture says we are a prized possession. That He has redeemed us by His blood. He has purchased us. Therefore, because He has redeemed us, He cares for us. And He says, I have called thee by thy name, and thou art mine. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to see you through. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to provide for you. Only thing you got to do is be obedient. Just do what I tell you. Just do what I tell you. I was studying in the book of Ruth. I preached Ruth the other night. I don't know how many of you got to hear the message, how many of you grasped what was being said in those scriptures. But Ruth was being instructed by Naomi to prepare herself to meet Boaz. And in those instructions, there were some things she had to do. We talked about she had to wash herself and prepare herself and get herself ready and change her clothes and clean up and put on some smelly good and all that. She's going to go meet the master, or we're going to go meet Boaz, which is a picture of meeting Christ. But in studying Ruth and Naomi speaking to her, she gave her instructions. And in order for Boaz not to be scared and take different measures, she had to follow those instructions to the T. She couldn't deviate. Is everybody listening? She couldn't deviate from those instructions. If she deviated from those instructions, Boaz wouldn't have understood why she was there, and he would have reacted in a totally different way, and everything would have went south, and it wouldn't have worked out the way it did. She had to follow those instructions. That is a picture to the New Testament church, says to be obedient to the will of God and the Word of God. You may not understand why God told you to do that. You may not understand why God's putting you through that. You just obey. You follow His instructions and follow His Word. And when it's all said and done, He'll get the glory for it. We find Naomi is teaching Ruth how to present herself before Boaz. And as she did that, she comes to the end. And listen, He granted her handfuls on purpose and gave her a bunch of wheat and barley and stuff to take back home. Hey, listen, things worked like it was supposed to because she was obedient and she listened to the instructions. I'm telling you, this is going to help us. Amen. Amen. This is going to help us, not because it's me. I'm your pastor. Thank God. I'm glad that God allowed me to pastor the church, but I want to help our people. Amen. And God has given us some wonderful truths in the precious Word of God. And I'm not trying to take away from Brother Kenny and his time. He's going to have his time. I told him, Brother, you got all afternoon because we're not having service tonight. You can preach all you want to. We might want to go eat first, but no, I'm just kidding. We're going to have a good time. Amen. But notice now, stay with me. The instructions were given, and as long as we follow those instructions, we're okay. We'll be all right. Israel, as God dealt with Israel, God said, don't do or do. And if they obeyed, God blessed. Every time you find through the Scriptures, if God said do, they did, God blessed. God said don't, they did it anyway, God cursed. God sent judgment. God dealt with them. The very same thing goes to the New Testament church. If God says do it, then do it. What did His mother say at Christ's, listen, when Christ was there and the disciples and His mother Mary said, whatever He saith, just do it. Amen? So that's all, it's just that simple, just obey Him. But wait a minute, preacher, the scripture says something in verse number 2 that you want to call our attention to. What is that about? Well, I'm glad you asked me. Verse number 2 says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers thou shalt not overflow thee. Notice verse number 2 says, when, not if, but when. Troubles are coming. Troubles is on the way. If you're not going through a trial right now, just hang on, there's one on the way. If you just come out of a trouble or a trial, hang on, there's another right behind it. Amen? Troubles and trials are a part of our life. But God is speaking here, and He says, when thou passest through the waters. I want you to notice with me, verse number 5, there's three fear nots of redemption. Real quickly, let me give them to you. First of all, in verse number 2, when thou passest through the waters, the present promise is, I will be with thee. In verse number 4, we find the past promise, which says, I have loved thee. The fear nots of redemption. Fear not, I will be with thee in the present. Fear not, I have loved thee in the past. Verse number 5, fear not, for I am with thee. That is the fear not for the future. The fear not of redemption. I don't have time to get into all that. I've got to move on. Let me say this. Redemption, because we're redeemed and are the people of God, that does not exempt us from troubles. Everybody with me? Because we are redeemed, that does not exempt us from trouble. Well, I'm a Christian. Everything's going to be all right. God never said it'll be easy. God never gave us a Staples easy button. Amen. Never gave us one of those. If troubles are not coming in your life and problems are not present in your life, it's a good possibility that you're not one of His. Troubles are coming. And He says to us, fear not, for I am with thee. Fear not indicates there will be trouble. There's 365 fear nots in the Bible, one for every day of the year. Now, look at them real quickly. When thou passest through the waters, the word waters describes the kind of trial that chills. It's a kind of, listen, it causes us to lose control sometimes. Water speaks of circumstances that could cause danger. Most of us can testify to that for what we had to deal with last night and yesterday over the church house. Amen. All that water coming in the basement, and we had to get a submergible pump put over there, start pumping that stuff. If we had to take care of that water was going to cause danger and damage. And the Bible says when thou passest through the waters, those trials, those times in your life when troubles and circumstances come, when you pass through that, I know I spent a little time on that little word when and said the Bible says when and not if. But did you catch the rest of that verse? When you pass through it. Not when you get hung up in it. Whoop! But when you pass through it. Preacher, what in the world does that mean? Well, that means that God's going to carry us through it. Whatever the circumstance, whatever the trial, whatever the trouble, you're going to get through it. There's a promise. There's also a condition. And the condition is you better obey His Word. You stay faithful. You stay on your knees and you stay close to God and you obey His Word and God promises He'll see you through. When you come to the brink of the water, as the priest did in Joshua chapter 3, you come to the brink of the water and God's instructions are to step into the water. You better step in the water. Preacher, I can't make it through. The Jordan's flooded and the problem's over my head. David said he was overwhelmed with problems. And he took those problems to the Lord and said, God, I can't take it anymore. What'd God say? Fear not. I'm with you, David. David, the Bible says, encouraged himself in the Lord. Look back on the past circumstances and see where God delivered. And God had brought them through. Now, God uses the children of Israel, and we understand that He brought them through. He instructs us to look at Israel. He brought them through the Red Sea. That's waters. Y'all with me? That's water. He brought them through the Jordan. That's waters. He brought them through those troubled times. Brought them. When thou passest through, you're going to make it through. The waters Sometimes it speaks of circumstances that causes danger. As we look at this other word that's in this passage of Scripture that is called rivers. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers. Now, what's the difference, preacher, than waters and rivers? Well, you go over to the basement, you'll find waters. You go down here, well, the bridge is washed out, you'll find rivers. I guess that's what's going on. I don't know, they got the roadblock. I figure the bridge is washed out or something going on. There's a difference in water. Water could resemble something as a pond that's kind of still, slow moving. But rivers are raging waters that will take you down. If you get out into the middle of the river and you're not prepared, that rushing water will take you down. It'll sweep you literally off your feet. It's swift waters. And listen, there's troubles and there's trials in this life that sometimes it feels like it's going to take us down. I don't think I can fight it anymore. God said, when you pass through, where it's the waters or it's the rivers, I'll be there with you. I'm right there with you. I'm not going to let you drown, son. Whoop. I'm not going to let you drown. When thou passest through the waters, and when you go through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. It's not going to take you down and drown you. Preacher, you just don't know what I'm going through. It's the hardest thing in the world that I'm having to deal with. I've heard that so many times. And I've seen people in the church house that begin to face a circumstance, whether it's cancer or whether it's any other kind of situation, financial or whatever, sickness. And they start to face it and say, preacher, I can't handle it. And they stop coming to the house of God. They'll stop praying. They'll stop reading their Bible. And they absolutely forget about God and try to deal with that on their own. You know what happens? It takes them down. It takes them down. They'll get on the rock bottom. They'll start looking up and say, God, I've got to have some help. Sometimes they'll come back, sometimes they don't. Those circumstances and troubles in life are not there to make us bitter, but they're there to make us better. I've preached that several times before. Listen, the trials of life are not to make us mad at God, but they're to increase our faith. Israel had to learn a little thing called faith. And faith in Jehovah God, that He was the true God, He was the real God, He created all things, there's no other God before Him, and God tells them that I am the Lord thy God. There is no other Savior besides me, and before me there was no God, and after me there'll be no God. And Israel had to learn a thing called faith to believe that God was who He said He was. And now God tells us in His words, you look at my people Israel, you look at them, they are the witnesses. They know that I'm real. They know that I've created. They know that I've carried them through. They know that I'll judge them if they disobey. They know that. And He's speaking to the New Testament church, to the redeemed children of God through this passage of Scripture. And He says to us, when you pass through the water, or through the rivers. That word through means we're not going to get stuck midway. We're not going to get a fourth of the way down and God forget about us. We're not going to get three-fourths of the way through and God forget about us. God says when you pass through it, that means we're going to make it to the other side. I don't know if that's helping y'all or not. It helped a mess out of me and it's still helping me. There's financial problems. There's financial burdens that we get into. And I've been there myself. Whenever we came out of the girls' home, we lost so much money and we literally didn't understand what God was doing. And we was going through the rivers in our faith and in our Christian walk with the Lord. I didn't understand what God was doing. I was trying to do everything I could to obey God. My wife and my family was on board trying to do everything we could to obey God. And it seemed like the waters was getting deeper and deeper and deeper. We just stay faithful. Well, there's times whenever we prayed, it seemed like they didn't even get over our head. But we stayed faithful. And God says, when you come to those rivers, and as you pass through those waters, whether it's a small thing or whether it's a big thing, you're going to get through it. And whenever you pass through all that, I'll be there with you. Can I help you this morning? We ain't going through this thing alone. Preacher, you don't know what circumstances I'm facing in my life. You're exactly right. I don't. But if it's financial, I can tell you, I can testify I've been there. And I'm here, I'm an example. I can tell you God's faithful. You be faithful to Him, God will be faithful to you. Amen. I don't mean to be, yes I do, I'm a pastor. I don't mean to be cruel. I don't want to sound cruel when I say this. Many times I see people have financial difficulties and the first thing they do is stop giving to God. The worst mistake in your life is when you stop giving to God. Let everything else go. You just obey God. God says, the mortgage company don't care about you. You're nothing but a number. Amen. The finance company, you're nothing but a number. The life company, you're nothing but a number. God says, you are mine. I have chosen thee. I have redeemed thee. I will see you through. If you're going to give to anybody, you ought to give to Him first. Let Him take care of all the rest. He'll do it. He'll do it. I've seen Him do it. I'm a testimony. I can tell you, He's done it more than one time. There's been times I had no idea how in the world that's going to happen. God always came through. You be faithful to God, God will be faithful to you. You are my witnesses, Israel. You see that happen. You know God's real. Now He says that to the New Testament church. Look at Israel. How do you know the Bible's true? Look at Israel. How do you know God will see you through? Look at Israel. How do you know God will get me through the deep waters? I understand that God can save me. I understand that God can redeem me and save me from the devil's hell. But I just don't know that God can get me through life. That's where most people are at. God's got the strength and He's got the power to save me, but He ain't got the power to get me through life. When it comes to life, I'm going to have to do this thing on my own. Son, we've got that all backwards. You turn it over to Him. You give it to Him. I preached this on Thursday night. And I don't have liberty this morning to go into the details I'd like to share with you. I don't have that liberty, so I'm not going to do it. I preached this on Thursday night. I got home, somebody called me. He said, "Preacher, would you pray for me and my family? I just found out that a really close loved one in their immediate family has cancer. That loved one's young. Too young to have to face that. God help me Thursday night to preach that message." And I was able to give that to that family. And said, God said in His Word, son, listen real close. I said, God said, when thou passest through, whether it's the waters or it was a river that they was going through, it was deep and it was mighty. The family was destroyed and really upset. And this is a godly family. They love the Lord. But they've got some other members in their family that's not close to God. They're not living for God. And I said, this very well may be a test or a trial so they can see that the God that you serve is real. Can you understand that this morning? The trials sometimes we go through, it's not so much for us. The children of Israel was led up to the Red Sea. Here's their big sea of water, deep water. Mountains on this side and mountains on this side and behind us and everywhere else and all around us. We're surrounded by mountains and a sea and the enemies are sailing coming in from the rear. Don't leave Him out. He's always chasing us. But Israel had to go through the walls of water. Y'all with me? That's deep stuff. That's deep waters. Israel had to go through that. So the New Testament church could look back at Israel and say, God brought them through the deep waters. God parted the Jordan for Joshua. They walked across on dry land and put 12 stones back into the Jordan River. They crossed over and turned around, grabbed the stones and come back to the middle and planted 12 stones as a memorial, a testimony that God brought them through the deep waters. Glory to God, that's helping me. I hope that's helping you. God says, when thou passes through the waters or the rivers. I got to hurry. It's already 11 o'clock. The waters and the rivers are mentioned in verse number 2. Then he also goes on to say, when thou walkest through the fire. What fire? I understand waters as being trials and troubles. What's fire? Fire describes affliction. Things that continually aggravate the child of God. Fire speaks of that which arises from persecution. You have to face those things because you are who you are. Because you are a child of God. You face those afflictions, those fiery trials. You ain't got to bow the knee to the false gods just to get somewhere in life. Amen. You ain't got to bow the knee. Those fiery trials of affliction. Well, if you just quit doing that, if you'd start working on Sundays and Thursday nights and quit going to church, then I'd give you a raise. Keep your raise. Those are the fiery trials. What did he say about the fiery trials? What do you say about that? Well, preacher, if I take a stand, I'm going to lose my job. Watch your Bibles. Can I help you? Watch your Bibles. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned. You mean if I take a stand for God, I won't be hurt? That's what God said. I think I'll just go with God. I think I just believe what God said. Amen. He created this world. He created us in this world. My soul, if He can't take care of me, who can? Amen. When you pass through those fiery trials, those afflictions and persecutions for being a child of God, but watch this, it doesn't stop there. I'm almost through. I'm going to quit with this. Thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. The flame describes a sharp, hurting trial that doesn't last long. Sometimes a flame is not physical, it's spiritual. It may be a concentrated conflict with the devil. It may just be something that you have to deal with yourself. Something that you have to go through and nobody else knows anything about it. Not a sin that's hidden, but just something you have to deal with. One of those flames of trials. Something that you have to deal with yourself. The Bible says, in those trials, look with me, the flame, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. As we look at our Bibles, and we understand that God says, look at Israel. Israel disobeyed God. God chastened them, sent the Babylonians in to take them captivity and send them back. Take them into captivity. King Nebuchadnezzar, y'all remember that? Amen. Took them into captivity. The children of Israel now is a picture and a type of the New Testament church. God says, if you want to know that I'm real, you want to know that I'm God, you look at Israel. Israel disobeyed God. God chastened them, sent them into judgment. In judgment, there's Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And in judgment, God says to them, God says, obey and follow my instructions, and I'll be with you. Do you not think for one minute that the trials of Israel going through captivity, going into judgment, if you don't think that wasn't deep waters, there's never been an example of deep waters. So they're going through that deep water, they're going through the trial because of disobedience, they're going through the trial, and now the King Nebuchadnezzar speaks and he says, don't you pray to your God, don't you bow your knee to your God, don't you do that. If I see any man doing that, I'm decreeing the decree that any man bows and prays, I'm decreeing the decree they shall be put to death for doing such a thing. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, those three teenagers that love God, Daniel purposed in his heart, says, I'm not going to obey the king. I'm going to obey God. And so they bow the knee and they begin to pray. And they are seen praying. And then the soldiers come to the king and say, hey, listen, did not you decree a decree that they should not pray? Yes, I did. Well, they're over there praying to their God. Well, they're not going to do that. Go get them. So they go get Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the furnace they did go. Y'all remember that? The fiery furnace. Picture typology. I hope you understand what picture and typology is. As we look at typology and look at what the Bible teaches us and looking at Israel when it comes to the trials of life, we look at those flames and those fires and we look at Israel and the children of Israel and how they're thrown into the fiery furnace. And the king says, turn her up. The enemy says, don't you think for one minute the devil ain't turned the heat up. Amen. On the children of God, the devil has turned the heat up a whole lot harder than it used to be. Don't believe that? Look at the presidential election. We ain't got much to choose from. Anyway, I'm not going to politic this morning. But the devil has turned the heat up. And the enemy says, Nebuchadnezzar says, turn the heat up harder than it ever has been and throw them boys in there. The Bible says, when thou passest through the waters, when thou goest through the rivers, when the flame and the fire is kindled against you. We look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They've been thrown into the furnace. They turned the heat up on the furnace. Got that thing hard as ever been. That thing's a humming. About like my old wood stove. You chuck some pine and some lighter knot in there, that thing will get to choking like a Chattanooga choo-choo. Amen. And I mean, it'd get hot. That's what they did. They turned the heat up on the old stove. Got her hot. And they throwed them boys in there. And the Bible says when they opened the door, the soldiers that opened the door of the furnace died from the heat. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace, they did go. And whenever they looked in, they say, hey, did we throw three boys in there? Yeah, well, there's four. I count four in there. Whoop. Y'all get that? They throw the three Hebrew boys in the fire. Hot fire. Not just flames, but the heat was on. I mean, son, it was glowing red. You ever one of potbelly stoves that glows red when it gets getting hot? Son, that thing was glowing. Turn the heat up and throw them in there. And the Bible says that when they took them boys out of the furnace, they didn't even smell like smoke. The only thing that was burned off of them was the ropes that had them bound. The Bible says, when thou passest through the waters, the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall flame kindle upon thee. I like word studies, in case y'all didn't notice. The little word there we discussed of when, not if, but when you pass through. The little word through means you're going to go through. You'll get to the other side. God said you would. We're His people. God promised. That's a promise of God. You'll get through it. You just hold on to His hand. He'll lead you through. When? Through. Then there's another word. There's another word here in the Scripture. I like word studies. Word studies are really good. Word studies are really good. You see this little word? When thou walkest through the fire. Not when thou runnest through the fire. Not when thou turn and run from the fire, when thou walkest through the fire. Preacher, what does that mean? I'm glad you asked me, I'll tell you. When I'm walking, that means I'm confident and I'm going to make it through. Lord help us, when I'm walking, I'm not afraid. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. When I'm walking through the trials, the fires, man, it's hot. The devil's turned the heat up. He's persecuting me because I'm a Christian. He's turned the heat up on me. The world hates me. Everybody around me hates me. And the fire sure is hot. I'm not afraid. I'm a walking because I'm confident I'm going to make it to the other side. I'm not dismayed. I'm not afraid. I'm not even weary. You know why that is? Because I've got confidence in my Father. He's got a hold of this thing. He's not going to let me burn. Glory to God, that's a helping me. That's a helping me. He's not going to let me burn. When I come out of the flame, you're not even going to smell no smoke on me. Glory to God. It's not if I go through it, but it's when I go through it. It's going to happen. Troubles are coming. Persecution's coming. Circumstances beyond our control. Whether it's cancer, whether it's finances, whether it's sickness to death, whatever it is. I can't help but think of Hezekiah. He was preaching through the book of Isaiah. We dealt with Hezekiah. And the Lord sent, listen real close to me this morning. The Lord sent a message to Hezekiah by the prophet Isaiah. You go tell Hezekiah to get his house in order. He's going to die. Y'all listening? God says to the prophet, you go tell Hezekiah to get his house in order. He's going to die. Hezekiah is a child of God. Y'all with me? Hezekiah gets the message from the prophet that God said, "Son, get your house in order, or you're going to die." Hezekiah says, "Oh God," he falls down on the altar and he goes to the Lord in prayer and he begins to pray. The prophet comes back and says, "God says, get things in order. Your life shall come to an end." Hezekiah takes those threatening letters that he gets from the enemy. He lays them things out before the Lord on the altar. He lays those letters out on the altar before the Lord. He sprawls out face down on the altar, just like so. And he lays down and he begins to plead with God. "Oh God, you see the letters that's been sent and the enemy's coming. God, you know where I'm at. You know my circumstance. I'm in deep waters. God, this is a fiery trial. And the flames are kindled against me. God, you said that my life's coming to an end. God, would you spare me? And would you deliver me from the enemy?" And if you read the rest of that chapter, God heard his prayer. Don't tell me my God's mind can't be changed and God's will can't be changed. God will and can through prayer. Amen? But you understand with me that if God wills you to go through it, you've got to obey. Hezekiah had to go through the threats of an enemy. Hezekiah had to go through, listen, he had to go through the threats of the letters and the threats of annihilation and persecution. He had to go through that. He had to listen to all that. And he even had to take the words from the prophet that God sent and says, "You're going to die. Get your house in order." And through that fire of affliction and through that trial of deep waters, the river, he still obeyed God. And he brings that petition to the Lord. "God, if it be thy will." And I'm not telling you if you pray God stop it, that God will stop it. It's God's will. Jesus Christ himself prayed, "The Lord, not my will, but thine be done. If it be thy will, let this cup pass from me." And it was not the will of God for the cup to pass from him. He had to go through it. Thank God that he did. Amen. That's another message for another time. But thank God that he did. But Hezekiah pleaded with God, and God answered his prayer and added 15 years to his life. Why did Hezekiah have to go through that? Was it because he's a wicked, ungodly man? No, he was a child of God. Hezekiah had to go through that so the New Testament church could see and could understand when you pass through the fire, son. When you go through the flames, when they're kindled against you, when the rivers are deep and the trials are hard and the waters are flowing over your head, just, glory to God. Just stay in there. Hold on. Because he says, "Fear not. I'm with you. I'll be there with you. I've got to quit. I'm trying to quit. I haven't read all my notes. For I am the Lord thy God." Verse number 3. "The Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." Verse 5. "Fear not, for I am with thee." I am with thee. Verse 7. "I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him." Verse 11, I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared, verse number 12, and I have saved, and I have showed. Therefore you're my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Before the day was, I am He. There's none that can deliver out of my hand. I am the Lord, verse 15, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. I am He. I'm God. You're my people. Fear thou not. I hope it helps you. I really do hope it helps you. The trials of life, we face so many things, so many different circumstances, whether it, as I said, whether it's sickness, whether it's financial, whatever the case may be, whether it's waters, whether it's rivers, whether it's fire, or whether it's just the heat from the flame. You're going to face it, but you can make it through. As God says you can, I'll be there with you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father.